This is the Shopify Dropify, hosted by The Cut.
So we created Unstoppable to really just empower them with the same information that we've been using in our experience and careers to help, you know, big brands with big budgets, so that, you know, those merchants could really just play on a level playing field. So the biggest thing is having a website that's ready for traffic. And then when you're looking at Facebook ads, like just having an e-commerce Facebook funnel. So, I mean, the number one thing to focus on is always the return on investment with anything that you're doing, including Facebook ads.
Welcome to your Shopify dedicated podcast called The Shopify Dropify, hosted by e-commerce agency, The Cut. When you want to improve performance and grow online sales, The Cut is here to help by improving customer engagement and conversion. In this episode, Ben talks to Megan Winter from Unstoppable E-commerce, an Australian consultancy with a focus on Facebook ads for e-commerce businesses. This is an awesome episode for any business owner who wants to get more return on investment from their Facebook advertising. Megan shares her insights from a career in digital marketing and the Unstoppable focus on educating merchants to run their own campaigns. Enjoy the episode.
So good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, or wherever you happen to be. Welcome back to the Shopify Dropify. I'm really excited to welcome aboard Megan Winter from Unstoppable E-commerce. Hi, Megan. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Ben. Thank you for having me.
Awesome to have you on board, and you're coming to us from Bris Vegas. Is that right?
Yes, beautiful sunny Brisbane. My business partner's in Tassie, and I constantly send her screenshots of the weather. So,
Very nice of you. Very nice indeed. I am a Tasmanian alumni myself, so big ups to the Tassie Massive, and we've obviously spoken to Karen, isn't it?
Yeah. Karen, yeah.
Yeah, down there in Hobart. That's one of the most beautiful cities in Australia, if not the world. So there's my boost to all you Tasmanians out there who may be listening. Can you please introduce yourself, Megan, and, just tell us a little bit about Unstoppable E-commerce.
Yeah, sure. So how far do you want me to go back? Do you want me to just give a little bit of an overview of kind of my experience and background, or just jump straight into what we're doing now?
Yeah, just give us a little bit of an intro and a taster for now, and we'll get into and amongst the details as we go through the chat.
So, I mean, something that was really important in my career was when I first moved to Brisbane, I had a job at a medical research institute, and I really credit that experience to having a savvy approach to marketing, I guess, and that's where I really learned to seek out, you know, the biggest bang for the smallest marketing dollar, so to speak. So fast forward to today, in 2019, I founded my own digital marketing company. Spent time traveling internationally and working with a variety of brands, just really helping them get into that digital space. And then 18 months ago, I co-founded Unstoppable Ecom with Karen, as you mentioned. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. And then Unstoppable, we really just work with people, merchants, who are super passionate about their product, and, you know, they've poured their blood, sweat and tears into it, but they just don't understand marketing or, you know, the e-commerce kind of fundamentals. So we created Unstoppable to really just empower them with the same information that we'd been using in our experience and careers to help, you know, big brands with big budgets, so that you know, those merchants could really just play on a level playing field, and that's Unstoppable.
Completely. So you're making passion project e-com merchants unstoppable themselves. We meet a lot of those people that you describe where they're pouring everything into their product, and they're starting out from their bedrooms, and they're hitting growth, and they're doing amazing things. They're very much the exciting ones to work with, aren't they?
They are, and I think, you know, the biggest mistake that a lot of them make is they invest in all of this product and they have it sitting in their garage, and then they go, oh, you know, now what do I do?
How do I get it out of the garage?
What do I actually do now? And so we really teach them how to use that agility and adaptability that they have as a small business to their advantage by using really the same tactics and techniques that we would use for a big company. We teach them to use it to actually move that product and get it out.
Awesome. So let's get to the mission at Unstoppable there, because I know you sort of combine, you will implement obviously strategies, but you also focus a lot on teaching and empowering merchants to run it themselves.
Yeah. So like I said, our mission really was just to empower them with the knowledge and the education that they could pick it up and use it themselves to really basically sell more on their online store. So
yeah,
when Karen and I started Unstoppable, we both started from similar places, but doing different things. So we were both in the e-com industry. Karen had a Facebook ads agency, and I was doing consulting, working with, you know, agencies around the world, helping marketing teams and within large brands, really help them adapt things like Facebook ads, but just the fundamentals of marketing, really.
Yeah.
And Karen and I actually met in Hawaii at an event that I'd put together to help Facebook ads agencies do better for their clients. So our first focus really was to come together. We kind of left our agencies on the side individually. We came together in Unstoppable to focus on education and really help people learn how to basically sell more. So, you know, we teach them everything from profit planning through to audience message, email, Facebook ads, and, you know, making sure their website's actually ready for that traffic. So,
and are you very hands-on day-to-day in the business?
Yes, in a way. So when we sort of started to realize that we could actually work together and that it was a partnership that, you know, had legs to it, we then brought our agencies together. So our Facebook agency then became part of Unstoppable Ecom. And so I'm all client focused within our actual Facebook ad clients. So I will deal with the clients. I'll write all of their ad copy myself. Karen then does all the techie geeky stuff within Facebook ads. She's the one who weaves the magic and makes it happen. We're really hands on with our students. So all of our content now is recorded, so they can watch it, you know, whenever they like, as many times as they like. It's taken us a while to get to that point, but we do still do that coaching calls, and, you know, we make sure that we're there for questions. And so, yeah, we basically, I just love empowering and teaching, but we also are hands-on in our own agency, so that we kind of never, I guess, we never lose sight of what's happening day to day in the industry. So we're not teaching old knowledge. Just have a really good mix of that. And
awesome.
I think, being hands-on is quite important for that.
Yeah, completely. So at the beginning of this year, let's say January, February, I was like pretty excited about 2020, and it was the start of a whole new decade and a brave new world. And I was talking to people about what they thought of the next year and the next 10 years was going to bring. And then obviously in March, when I was asking that question, it took on a whole nother direction. And now we're all embedded in this COVID thing, and it's kind of become somewhat normal for most of us, and obviously certainly horrible and tragic for many people around the world. But in terms of e-com, what's been your own experience in 2020 and in relation to COVID, and how's it affected the e-commerce landscape from your perspective?
Ah, COVID. I had a three-day-old baby when COVID lockdown happened.
Yeah, so that must have been a little extra scary.
It was, you know what, though? It was a blessing in disguise that I had that maternity leave planned, because even though I only had literally 3 days maternity leave, I had planned on taking 12 weeks. And so everything that I did was either batched or outsourced, and I'd systemized everything as much as I possibly could within our business. So the day-to-day operations of the business were kind of taken care of.
Okay.
And so when COVID hit, I was able to jump in and actually be really hands-on with our clients and our students, and just do lots of extra trainings and dig into kind of, you know, what was happening for them. So I was really able to jump in and hold their hand, which would have been very hard if I had not have had everything else kind of, you know, ready to go on maternity leave. So
your baby kind of prepared you for COVID.
Everyone asks me how old she is. I'm like, she's COVID old. She's COVID old.
I remember when we first met, actually, like you were holding her, and she was only, I don't know, was she a few weeks old then, or maybe 8 or 10 weeks old at that point, I think.
Yeah.
What sort of lasting changes do you think we're going to see?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of the e-commerce space, so all of our clients really, when COVID hit, they all of them across the board had a little dip. So they had a dip for a couple of weeks. I think people were just really uncertain and they weren't spending. And then that only really lasted for a couple of weeks. And so all of our clients really just, some of them went from $75,000 a month to $500,000 a month overnight. Like they were doing Christmas figures in a single week. Online space, in terms of, you know, how COVID has really changed it, I think it's pushed people to who maybe wouldn't usually try to shop online, like consumers. They've been able to get a taste for the online world and what it's like to have online shopping and the convenience of it. And so I think the lasting change is that people really are going to kind of normalize online shopping. And it was already growing. It was already, you know, increasing. But I think it's just been a catalyst for more growth quicker.
Yep, completely, which is going to stay with us, I would have thought, in a fairly significant way.
I think so.
So obviously this is really, our podcast is really for merchants, and most of the people that listen in are merchants or are thinking about starting in e-com in one way or another, or expanding what they're doing. So in terms of giving them some learning value right here, right now, what would be the top three most common ways that you would want an e-commerce business to look at or to improve if they're wanting to sort of switch up their Facebook advertising and start doing the things the right way? Like, are there three things that you'll look at and recommend for the vast majority of your clients from, you know, in the beginning, I guess?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing that we find, or the biggest mistake that people make, is that they try to run Facebook ads and they try to drive traffic to a website that's not actually ready for that traffic yet.
So I love this topic already.
I always really find, I mean, you know, it's like turning on taps and not having any buckets in place to capture that water, or having
analogy too.
So we say, you know, you have to obviously have a good product. You can't sell crap. But once you've got a good product, you have to have your website as traffic ready as it can be. And then once you turn on those Facebook ads, something that, again, I always say is, until you test, it's a guess. So until you actually run traffic to that website, you can spend all day tweaking it and testing it and, you know, asking everyone for their advice and opinion. But until you actually run traffic to it, it's just a guess as to, you know, how well it's going to convert. So the biggest thing is having a website that's ready for traffic. And then and then when you're looking at Facebook ads, like, just having an e-commerce Facebook funnel. So a lot of people will drive traffic to, the message to cold audience, so people who've never, you know, heard about the brand before, and that's where they'll stop. So they won't follow them up with a really simple, elegant retargeting strategy. So, if somebody's added to cart but hasn't purchased, you know, you can send them specific ads and really just, I guess, stalk people around the internet. In a really nice way. We always say it's not the universe telling you to buy that dress. It's actually the pixel. So that's the biggest thing is just having your retargeting set up and then making sure your website's ready.
I guess you're talking about one-layered approach, aren't you, where someone's just blasting out a buy me message and there's nothing, if that doesn't engage, which it often won't, there's no follow-up or fallback position in their campaign or their strategy.
Yeah, and I mean, we know that only, you know, a good converting website is anywhere, depending on the size, sits around 2-3%. So that's a lot of people who are coming to your website who are not purchasing on the first time. And if they do come and leave, it could be for any number of reasons. You know, the kids could start screaming, their boss could walk in on them shopping when they're meant to be working. You know, they could be buying a gift for their partner and their partner walks in. And so there's so many different reasons why people will leave a website without buying. So
They're not saying no forever, are they? They're not refusing the brand. They're just, that's just not the right time for them in that moment.
Exactly. And they might need a few, but when people become aware that you exist and they become aware that, you know, your brand and your product is out there, they will then go through an interest and an education phase where they really have to find out more about that product to see if it suits them and what they're looking for. So it's super important just to make sure that you follow them up, but follow them up specifically. So if they've been on your website 5 times and you say, hey, we sell shoes, come check us out, you know, that message is a bit redundant.
Yeah, for sure. You're telling them something they already know.
Yeah, it's just about the right message to the right people, like marketing fundamentals at the right time, with the right offer.
The multi-layered approach and the targeted approach for sure. So let's get into some insights on your approach to Facebook advertising and I guess the processes that Unstoppable offers to merchants. You guys are sort of very niche focused on Facebook advertising and either managing strategies for your clients or, as we've already touched on, teaching merchants how to DIY their advertising. Is that right? Is that completely accurate?
Yeah, so we have a small boutique agency where we help established merchants grow and scale using Facebook ads. So we will run their Facebook ads for them. And then, we have an online program or an online education where we teach merchants what we do to do it themselves. And so we cover anything from audience messaging, email, making sure their website is actually ready for it. And then obviously we've got a Facebook ads module as well.
We should make it very, very clear, shouldn't we, that when we say Facebook, we mean Facebook and Instagram together.
Yes, correct.
Yes, which I think a lot of merchants still don't presume that. We often have that conversation that when people in the industry say Facebook, they roll them together, but merchants think of them as separate channels still often.
Yeah, so Facebook bought out Instagram and so they're now all the same beast.
They're all the same beast, So we should come up with a friendlier term for beast, but I guess in some ways that's exactly what it is. So what was the inspiration for you guys to start Unstoppable and launch into this space? I mean, I guess the cut space is also potentially pretty crowded, but I imagine a Facebook advertising specialisation is a crowded market to be in. Is that right, or have you found that or not?
It is and it isn't. Like when Karen and I met, as I mentioned, you know, we were at an event that was teaching other agencies how to do Facebook ads well. So when we first started, it was a new-ish space. There was a lot of the big agencies picking it up and doing it, but we found some of the big agencies were running Facebook ads without even having a tracking pixel in, for example. So the space was becoming aware of it and seeking out, you know, who to go to, but it was the Wild West. There were cowboys everywhere. We knew that people wanted a solution that actually got results. At the end of the day, the return on ad spend is the only thing that matters. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's, and you know, when I was teaching other ad agencies how to run Facebook ads, I would always say to them, you know, there is enough work out there. Don't have a scarcity mindset and really just focus on your brand promise and your brand mission, because it's all about finding people to work with who align with you and your values. And, you know, it's exactly the same with merchants, finding customers that align with their brand and their values. That's what we really just focused on. So
in a funny sort of way, you're actually training people to become your competitors.
I was, yeah.
That seems like insanity, Megan.
No. Well, yeah, like I said, I mean, you know, every minute that we spend thinking about what our competition is doing, it's a minute less that we focus on our own business and delivering our own promise. And I really knew that the education that was out there was either not e-commerce focused or bad advice. And so, and I would just go into marketing departments or speak at events to help other ad agencies. And I really think, you know, if we can get people to do the right thing in the industry, then it makes the industry look better. There's still a lot of cowboys out there.
There are, and in digital, that is endemic. The cowboy stampede is endemic in digital. I think after being in the space for 11 years, I think, yes, it certainly attracts the John Waynes of the world. I've exhausted my cowboy analogies now.
I love it.
So if there's a merchant out there and they're sitting there and maybe running their Facebook themselves, or they've had some low-quality advice or got some strategies in place that they're sort of suspicious of, what's something that they can focus on to sort of assess things and work out if they do need to change or potentially where they can make change?
So, I mean, the number one thing to focus on is always the return on investment with anything that you're doing, including Facebook ads. So I am still blown away by how many agencies will report on soft metrics, or people will look at, you know, so many other things other than how much money they're actually making back. So if you're doing Facebook ads yourself, or if someone else is doing them for you, sidebar, if someone else is doing them for you, make sure that they are doing them in your ads manager, so your ad account. Make sure that you own your own ad account, because if you part ways with that agency, you still want all that really valuable data, because even if it wasn't working, you can still see what's not working, and that's a really great place to start.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Have that ownership of your own accounts. We've seen that story many times over the years. Oh, I don't. An ex-employee opened the account, it's attached to their account, and I can't get them to change ownership. And I've heard that so many times over the years.
And Facebook chat and Facebook support is all, like, it's a unknown. There is no transparency as to, you know, how to get that back at sometimes. So
it's really tricky and can take forever.
Yeah. So make sure, you know, you have that. So coming back off that sidebar, if you've got access to your own ads account, which you should, go into the customized columns, search ROAS and have a look at what your ROAS is, which is return on ad spend. That is the number one thing that you should be looking at: how much you spent and how much you made and what return on ad spend you got. And then everything else, if you've got a good ROAS, then you know that you can do more of what you're doing to get a better ROAS. If you've got a bad ROAS, then you can dig around and have a look at, you know, what's working and what's not working, and do less of what's not working and more of what is working. But that's really, at the end of the day, that's the number one thing.
Yep. Definitely, that's your assessment tool. Yes, sorry, go ahead.
Absolutely. No, sorry to cut you off, and I know you'll love this one. The other thing is conversion rate. So if you're sending traffic to a website, again, that's not ready for it, your conversion rate's down. If you double your conversion rate, you double your ROAS.
Yeah, completely. Or on the flip side, if you're just pumping money into campaigns and you potentially can be just investing in a very high bounce rate.
Or you're sending the wrong traffic to your website, or your website needs fixing and tweaking. So
yeah, completely. I mean, we like saying to people, we don't really drive traffic, but once the traffic arrives on your site, we'll definitely be able to help you make sure it converts at a higher rate by making sure that the site is well set up to receive your visitors and engage with them.
Yeah, it's such an invaluable, like, infinite relationship between traffic and website. Conversion.
So let's look at the actual content and the ads that are going out there in terms of, you know, how do they engage, or if they're not engaging, what does that content need to look like? Do you have sort of three key strategies or improvement methods that will ramp up the effectiveness of that content and of those ads that are in Facebook and the gram?
Yeah, so it's really important to meet people where they're at. So the right message to the right people at the right time. So when you're talking about sending, you know, cold traffic, so people who've never seen your website before, it's really important that you meet them with a message that actually makes sense to them. So one example, you know, we share a client in a bike storage solution. And so instead of just saying, hey, we sell bike storage, we've really crafted their ads to say, hey, if you have a mountain bike, then this bike storage solution will specifically be for you. And so those ads go so much better than just, hey, we sell bike racks. So really being specific to the customers and what they're looking for is super important.
Yeah. And also, as you said, accounting for where the customer is in their level of understanding of your brand. Are they ice cold? Have they seen you once or twice? Have they visited the site? Do they know a little bit? What are you going to tell them to build out the brand story so they continue to learn more?
And one of my favorite ads is more in the what we would call like the middle and bottom of funnel. So the retargeting, once people have been on your website, they come, we then target them with specific messages that would not make sense if you've never been on the website. So one of my absolute favorites is to actually call it out and say, hey, we can see that you've been on our website checking out our products. You might still have a few questions. Here's our frequently asked questions and the answers to them.
Okay.
And so, you know, we know that they know that we know that they've been on our site. So we.
What did you just say, Megan?
So the customers know that we know as advertisers that they have been on our site. So instead of just saying like, this is, you know, clever, you know, the universe talking and telling you that, you know, it's like it's a sign that you've been on their website and we're going to retarget you with our product.
Yeah, you see, you're acknowledging that you're retargeting them, basically.
You're calling it out. You're telling it what it is.
Yeah, and people, that's really interesting. Notwithstanding the circular thingy, the George Bush sort of circular thingy where he did, do they know that we know what we know that they didn't know? Remember, do you remember that one?
Yeah,
I'm very sorry, but you did remind me of George W. Bush there for a couple of moments.
No.
I apologize. But I can't resist. Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I don't know that I've ever heard someone say that they do that, to be honest. And that's really cool. I mean, I think a lot of people know they're being retargeted, but to acknowledge it directly, I think, is a really great idea. And if you can turn it into a positive and make it, well, that's the reason we're actually sending you this extra content, because we know you'll find it helpful or at least interesting. That's really, really cool. I love that.
It is. And just on that, like, on that train of thought, the other campaign which is really good that nobody does is a thank you campaign. So a post-purchase ad campaign where you actually spend money to deliver an ad to people who have just checked out. It will only spend a super small budget because it can only go to people who've purchased. So it's not going to send it to, you know, thousands of people who've never seen your product before. But just to say, hey, thank you so much for shopping from us. By buying from us, you've supported, you know, an Australian-owned business, whatever it is. Those campaigns will actually get, like, we've run campaigns like that, they get like 100 times return on ad spend because people will actually come back and buy again because they've seen that thank you campaign.
Wow, that's awesome. And I would imagine that that sort of campaign also produces a really high referral rate. As in the customer gets a really warm fuzzy and says to their friend, oh, this brand is so cool. And then I saw this from them and they sent me this message.
It does. And so that then will turn their referrals back up into the top of the funnel or, you know, make that customer aware of that brand and they then get retargeted and the cycle just continues.
Oh, it's just one beautiful, unstoppable circle of perpetual motion.
Oh, my God, it is. I'm using that in our marketing too, by the way.
No, you can't. I'm going to have to charge you a licensing fee. Look, I mean, we know that you guys work with a bunch of different merchants across all sorts of different sectors and you yourself individually and Karen, of course, have had your careers built upon working with brands in e-com. So I'd love to get some, I guess, more general insights or insights into e-commerce more generally from you, if that's okay. What's the single most important part of the e-commerce ecosystem that business owners should never ignore? And I guess I'm kind of thinking more outside of the Facebook ad space with this one.
Look, my first instinct really is to say that you have to have a good product. We cannot sell, and I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on this podcast, but you're not.
Well, we prefer you did, and it's a family channel, Megan.
Okay, you can't sell crap.
We can work with crap.
You can't have a sustainable business if you don't have a good product. That's the number one thing. However,
agree.
I feel like that's kind of just a given. So that's the next thing that I would say is to really not forget about the customer and the lifetime value of a customer. So when we're looking at an e-commerce business, the success of that is really a marathon and not a sprint. And so when we talk to merchants, a lot of the time they just say, I want new customers, and to get those quick wins, the new sales in. But it's really important to understand the difference between a quick win and a long-term game plan, I guess. And obviously you need both. You need new customers, but then when we're looking at that long-term game, looking at the lifetime value of a customer, how many times they purchase from you, how many times they refer you, how many times they come back and, you know, maybe buy a complimentary product from you. So it's,
or refer a friend or drop a really lovely review or
exactly
all of the other things that allow an existing customer to help your business get more customers or more sales.
Absolutely. And so, you know, when we're looking at it and breaking it down, it's usually around about 5 times more expensive to acquire a new customer than it is to, you know, get an existing one to buy from you. So by focusing on you need to have a good mix, obviously, but by focusing on getting existing customers to become loyal customers and advocates for your brand, that's going to then, you know, really drive the success of an online store.
Yeah, we talk a lot to people about lifetime customer value, and it's become such a huge part of the picture, particularly in the last couple of years, I think. So going from the positives and the good things to the negatives, what are the most common mistakes that you see merchants making or challenges that they hit?
I mean, we've touched on it a little bit already, but driving traffic to a site that's not ready for it, that's the number one mistake that we see people make. And
And again, we love that topic at The Cut because it allows us to talk about how we can change that.
Well, and you'll get a... If you drive, you don't need a very big budget with Facebook ads to drive some traffic to a website to see pretty quickly that it's either the wrong traffic or the website needs fixing. So making sure that you've got your website ready for traffic is absolutely the number one thing. Another big mistake is people try and be everything to everyone. I don't know if when you start talking to clients and you say, like, who are you targeting? They say everyone. It's like you really
completely.
You can't completely. Be everything
it
to everyone.
It is very, 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 very hard to get a business owner to narrow down, or even they always want to give you the widest outliers. If you ask them about who's your target market, well, it's anyone from, we had an 8-year-old child come in, and 5 minutes later we had an 88-year-old come in. And I said, well, that's lovely, but who are most of your people? Where do 80% of your customers sit? You know, they find it difficult. They don't want to leave out those outliers, which I can completely understand. But yeah, I can 100% see where you're going. If you make it specific to the people that are definitely your best and strongest prospect, then everything is going to work better.
And the thing with that is you're not saying no to those outliers. You're not going to say,
no,
sorry, you can't buy from us. But when you get super specific on who you're targeting, it just makes everything easier. It makes the people who you're really trying to target, it makes it easier for them to spend money with you. So
Absolutely. That's
another big mistake. And then, you know, just overcomplicating things. Like I've worked within big organizations and they've got spreadsheets coming out of their ears and there really is just a beautiful elegance in simplicity. You don't need to overcomplicate things. And like I said, marketing hasn't changed. It's not even really big brands. It's still the same fundamentals. It's still the same right message to the right people at the right time and get them to come to a website that's ready for it. It's as simple as that. I will say one other mistake that's just popped into my head.
Please do.
Is just tell me to stop rambling because I can do that sometimes.
No, you're all good.
I love a sidebar. People will always be on sale, and I think that is a huge mistake because you're training people to wait to spend money with you.
And devaluing your brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely agree. The sales mentality, I mean, you see it with retail, physical retail, and probably you've seen it, we've all seen it more with physical retailers. They sort of, you know, battle e-com and yeah, it's just, it cheapens the brand. It makes them just look like a slash and burn discounter. And as you say, it sets expectations of customers that your promotions and your discounts should be tactical and well thought out and creatively delivered so they feel a bit less like a sale, and a bit more like an exclusive opportunity to save a little bit on something awesome.
And, you know, one of the really powerful things that I love with when you've got all of the, you know, things set up in your website properly and you've got your email software linked up to it and you've got your Facebook pixel, you know, working properly is if you've got a sale, you can target just your loyal customers with that sale to actually reward them rather than just, you know, blanket
everybody
throwing it out to everybody.
That's an awesome point. Targeted discounting so that you're not exposing it to every Tom, Dick and Harry. And yeah, that's an awesome point. And also obviously a great strategy. Mm-hmm. I want to finish up with something we've kind of just been touching on, if we can, but how important is the brand of a business in your experience when their focus is selling online?
One of the things that we actually say as part of our messaging is we don't work with dropshippers who are just looking to make a quick buck and are just looking to sell the trend because, one, our values don't align. Like, we really want to work with people who are passionate about their products. But it's really impossible to build a business with longevity without having a brand. And so when you're talking about brands, like I think brand is everything, and a brand really is a promise. Like, you probably, you know, heard that said in multiple different ways before, but a brand really is a promise. And once you have that clear brand and the clear brand vision, again, a simple brand vision, that becomes the true north for every decision that's made in the business, from website marketing, the emails that you send out, if you discounts that you do, all of that can be driven by the brand and the promise that your brand is making. So yeah, I think brand is everything.
Because we're not talking about the logo, are we? We're talking about the tone of voice and the mission and the promise and the engagement and the relationship that's built and the language that's used and all of those things that form a brand.
I think a brand is really just a true north. It's like a guiding star as to who you are, what you do, what you deliver, and what you promise. And then your logo and everything else falls out of that.
Underneath. Yeah, completely agree. We run into it the other way where people think when we talk about brand, we're talking about their logo.
Yeah, not the logo.
But everything else that happens and those things and the way your brand is brought to life and the way your brand connects with customers and prospects is really so central to e-com success and something we love helping businesses with and quite often see, you know, businesses that haven't executed that and haven't really thought it through, and they have a logo, but the site's very product focused, but there's no personality, there's no demonstration that they understand their customers, and there's no strategy behind it. And feeding those things into the e-com picture can make a worlds and worlds of difference.
You know, one of the things that we do, so we've got a free Facebook group, which is for online store owners, and in that we used to do a segment which was website audits, and the first thing probably on 90% of websites we'd say, look, your logo is beautiful, but people aren't coming to your website to buy your logo. You really need to make it a little bit smaller, put it off to the side, you know, make the focus on your products and let your products shine. People are not here to buy, you know, your logo. They're here to buy your brand promise, which is a completely different thing.
Yeah, completely agree, 100%. All right, Megan from Unstoppable E-Commerce, thank you so much for coming on the Shopify Dropify. It's been an awesome conversation, and we really appreciate you jumping on board this morning on this Friday morning. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Dan.
Thanks for listening in. If you have questions or need help with your online store, talk to Ben and Scott at The Cut today. They are here to help with everything Shopify, from site design and rethemes to app integrations and maximizing your customer engagement and conversion. Please share this podcast. We're always dropping new episodes featuring e-commerce experts, Shopify merchants, and app developers. Plus, you can feature your business on this podcast. Just contact The Cut to make it happen.
Thanks for listening. Access e-commerce expertise from The Cut anytime. Visit thecut.net.au and connect on Facebook and LinkedIn.